So start with the piece of Rabbi Ruchim. But just Bechlal, the topic is Zahiris in Yane Mominus. There's a smag which says a fascinating Lushan. The smag writes that it's incumbent upon Jews to have a tremendous amount of Zahiris in Dini Mominus. Because if not, there's a tremendous Chil Hashem involved. Because one day Hashem is going to bring Mashiach, blessed Hashem. And I'm going to say, for those cheats and liars and Ramoyim, you're bringing Mashiach. So it's a tremendous Chil Hashem. If Yidden are not Zoyer and Dini Mominus, when the Baruch Hu eventually is going to bring Mashiach. Awesome Lashon. Like, it's a mind-boggling Lashon like that. I said this over, I don't know, but fairly recently here in the Shir within the last 2 years, or three, that they once asked Rav Dovra Krongas Hatzal, what would he do if he won the lottery? So he was the Mashkiach in Eretz Yisrael. They asked him, if you won the lottery, like, what would you do? What would you do with the money? So he said, like, without batting an eyelash, he said, like, which you could see from that this was something he'd been thinking about, that, you know, I hear my job here in yeshiva. I don't know if I really fulfill my obligations to the yeshiva, what the yeshiva expects me to do. I have no idea really how much I'm doing enough. So maybe the money I get paid as a salary really is gezel. So I'd make a calculation of every penny that I receive from the yeshiva of all the years, and I give it back to yeshiva. Like, that was his off-the-cuff response of what he would do if he won the lottery. It means he's sitting there constantly with the concern that he's not fulfilling his obligation as an employee to do the right thing, and says he owes money to the yeshiva. Yeah, that's, I think, to give us a little bit of pause. Yaakovino in this week's parsha, is the Rambam is going to hold Yaakovino up is the dogma of what it means to be an heir l'chapoyel. He's working with somebody, so his level of zahiris in his responsibilities to his employer are the Rambam quotes Yaakovino as an example, as a paradigm of what it means to be an employee who's doing his responsibilities. Okay. So Rav Volva points out a different point over here. So Yaakovino says to Lavan that I've been here for 20 years. The trefel lehevesi alecha, right? But I was the sun, the cold. I was there being ben amonos, taking care of your sheep for 20 years. So the Bible following Ha'ara. Isa b'medrash, Rekiv Omer, v'haptarecha k'mecha zeh kol gadol b'tara. Famous medrash. Ben'azi Omer, zeh sefer toldos odom, zeh kol gadol yoser. Mizeh. That the klal of zeh sefer toldos odom, in Parshas Bereishis, where the Pasuk says, zeh sefer toldos odom, and it says that Odom gave birth to Sheis, etc., is a kol gadol yoser. Mizeh. It's a bigger klal than v'haptarecha k'mecha. Why? Ben-Hazi says, why is that so? V'haptarecha k'mecha means you have a chiyuv to treat other person like yourself. Zeh sefer toldos odom, that the Rosh Hashanah created man, puts man on a pedestal. Irregardless of how you've been treated, you still have to treat him. So, shalo yarmer, tamer hal, v'niz besisi, yizbaz l'chamer imi. You know, they have to treat, I'll treat people like they treat me. They happen to step all over me, so I'll step all over them. It's only fair, right? You can't say such a thing. No. The Pasuk says that the Russian made Metzelem Elokim, the Russian Bro, the Russian made the Metzelem Elokim. So you deal with Metzelem Elokim. He goes on a pedestal. Whatever has happened to you is irrelevant to how you have to treat him. But so the fear class of after Moicha, he says Sabar Rakamoicha. Vim Khabercha Biza Oischa, as I ye mutter gamlcha the basis I say. Right? It's a way street. Kamoicha. Alkane Umar Ben Azai Ki Al Kain Ksib the Musa Lakimo Soy Soy Shlotarmer Hoyle but it's basically his basic me. That's me tam vas. Avim Halo Biza Isko Atha Ain Khum Rashar Lavas Soy Mizakal Gol Yosemi may be your haft. That's what Ben Azai says. So I think the teeth kind of the nakud over here is okay. Ben Adam Malkam, Ben Adam Chaver. How the Rechakim Moicha is it a Ben Adam Malkam or is it Ben Adam Chaver? Right? We think about how the Rechakim Moicha is the parent. That is the root of all Ben Adam Chaver. Right? If we treat people correctly. But Ben Azai is saying that you got it all wrong. The key of to treat somebody properly is because you have to know that he is a Tzelem Elokim. And you have to put him on a pedestal. That's a chiyuv, not because it's the social function is required that you should do such a thing. Because this person, as a Tzelem Elokim, you have certain responsibilities vis-a-vis him. You have to treat him a certain way, recognizing who he is, regardless of what your life is like, and regardless of what are the social norms, that's nothing, and whether he deserves it or not, you know, quote unquote, all the different disorders, that's irrelevant. Because you look at the root of the creation of who he is. There's a lashon of a medrash. The medrash says himata is that after 120 years they asked the person himata is konecha, did you make a kodesh baruch hu the melech? Himata is chaverecha benachas ruach. Then you also were your mamlech your chaver upon you. Did you make your chaver a melech? Did you treat him as if he's a melech? That's one of the questions that a person's after 120 years. It's not enough that you know you're nice to him. You push it after the same way the melech. There are responsibilities and chiyuvim you have vis-a-vis the person how to treat him, whether you like him or not. You know, you look at the way the Dalam, you know, wrote about the way the malchus that they had for the melech. The melech was an anti-Semite. And he was, you know, a mushkus, a manuvel, and a mukashkin, right? But he's a melech. So himatit chaverecha benachas ruach is mechayev you to treat him like a melech, whether you like him or not. It's not the point. It's in other words, Rav Moicha is theoretically discussing an emotion. The Rishonim are not like that. That it's not b'chayvi an emotion because we can't. It's hard to legislate an emotion. It's b'chayvi a certain level of treatment, how you treat the person. The Malmas with Daik Chalosan v'haftam l'reika Moicha. It says v'haftam es hager. You love the ger. It means the being of the person you have a chiyuv to love for what he's done. That he's willing to leave his nation and come and join you. Have a chiyuv to love him. But half the Rekha, the Rambam says, it means that you have a key of how to do something to him. You're not saying you have to love him. Otherwise, it says, half the Esrecha, you love him. Right? But it's that being true, but the Ikun, the Kun over here is, it's discussing the a sort of an attitude issue that you have to develop. So comes with Ben Azai, says, well, the root of that attitude issue has to be because you recognize that who the creator is behind the person. Okay. Pasuk Amar Vayabad say Imoy Oy Shevashani Machiras. So Laban tricks Yaakov to marrying Leah. He said, I want Rachel. This is no problem. 7 more years of work. Zolmer and Shuldigan. If I'd be the person involved in this situation, I'd be extremely unhappy. Right? And even I'd agree to it because those 7 years of work are not going to be with the same level of the mnemonics of the first 7 years. Kosher Shom Rashi, Acheres, Akishon, Rishon, Zaman, Rishon, Zaman, Muna, Afacheres, Muna, Babish, Ramos, Baalav. He played me for the fool, took advantage of me, and now he's forcing me to work for 7 more years. And furthermore, I already got Rachel. It's paying back a chayv. It wasn't like Shadows, he's dangling Rachel in front of me. Mm. Right? Listen, wait, work somebody else, then you'll get her. And you better work good, because otherwise you're not going to get her. Okay, he said, no, I'll give you right away. And then you'll pay me back 7 more years of work afterwards. Okay? I'll do the minimum that I have to do, make it look good, and bezehu. One of the biggest challenges in avodah is where there is makom for mimer heter. One of the biggest problems that I have, one person who calls me up for halacha shailas, and not so much anymore, but for like the first 10 years or so, I would cringe when the person would call. Why? The person was a fairly knowledgeable person. He was a big lamed. So every time he would ask me for a psak, then he'd ask me why. I tell him why. I said, but why do you argue like this? Man, it's much mutter. Like, every time there's always an argument why something should be mutter. He was a big lamden. He always came up with a tzad het, if we got an amor, it's so the rabbi says, right? But the tzad het, you can always come up with something. So the problem is that's the challenge of a lamden. So the aura that I had with this person is that's how he functions, that's how he works. See, one of his kids is like that. It's exact the same way. But whereas he, the mice, end of the day, I said, listen, I hear your argument, the mice is a psaki, listen, his kid doesn't. Because, I hear a good argument after. The study heter, you can always come up with study heter. The Gemara says the fascinating Gemara. The Gemara says that to be sitting in the Sanhedrin, you have to be able to argue 49 reasons why a sheret should be torn. Right? But the modern mindset says sheret is tamei. But you have to be such a lamb, then you can come up with 49 arguments why it's torn. Because it means you're able to see the other side. But you have to also know that at the end of the day, how to find the evidence. So study, study heter are very dangerous areas. Okay, now the matter says Vayter. So Laban comes running after Yaakov. He says, "You stole my heart by taking away my family." And you stole my getchka. She says, okay, listen, check. Look for it. So Lavan checks every single place. He comes back with nothing. So they lived together for 20 years. He lived by a shir for 20 years. There's not one item, there's not one pin, the one bobby pin, the one paper clip that belonged to his father-in-law. Yaakov says, "Mashas says, 'Kol kelei afilu machat afilu tzinara lo mitzasa.' You didn't even find a needle." Okay, he named mispachas abba minorsu bar mesher chosin bebeis chama bemesher esrim shana. You call him Mosh. Now, Yaakov could have argued very, 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 very convincingly, "I deserve to take a machat from him. I mean, this guy is, treated me like dirt and stole money from me every which way." We call him Mikoshkin Kishahola Moina. He's pashut mamish stealing from me. It's not just a little bit, a lot. Over a period, a long period of time. End the conversation. No mitzvahs anymore. Yard l'chayiv, do whatever you want to the guy. But Yaakov wasn't like that. That's the. He says, what did he do? He didn't say, Hovin is Basisi, he's Parachari, Hovin is Kalalti, he's Kalachari. Right? I behave to deal with this person in a certain way, regardless of how he treats me. Okay. I don't know, we should stop here, really, you know. That's it. You know, there's like nothing more to say. I put in the back over here some stories. Now, the stories didn't go in because the pages printed really had staples. It went to the feeder. So let me read you the story. It's not there in the back. But here. Okay. Chacham Salmon Mutzafi was a Rashiva and Mukubal in Yerushalayim, was born in Baghdad. For 18 years before moving with his family to Eretz Yisrael, he managed affairs of a prominent Baghdadi Jew. Prepared to leave Baghdad, he was concerned that he might have misused company funds. Perhaps he occasionally served refreshments to personal visitors at the office over the years, or overspent on refreshments for business callers. He was certain that if he asked, his employer would easily forgive any possible extra expenditures. But that was not enough for Chacham Mutzafi. Instead, he calculated how much it would have cost had he served refreshments to personal guests every single day of his entire tenure, and arrived at the figure of roughly 100 gold dinners. He knew that if he put that amount into the till, the discrepancy would immediately be apparent, and they would not allow him to do so. Instead, he purchased 100 gold dinners worth of postage and revenue stamps and slipped them into the mail drawer where they would go unnoticed. To even tell his boss that he was doing this. And then he moved. Because he worked there for 18 years. See, Cheshman, as if every single day he had taken something incorrectly, because possibly that had happened, even though that was improbable. And that's the amount of money he paid back to his employer. Okay?
So what is that he's given his employer? Is that payback? Is that a matana?
He's looking at it.
It's not payback, because he didn't certainly didn't steal it. It's a matana, right?
He's concerned that possibly it's payback. So he said, the only way I feel comfortable saying I fulfill my obligation to pay back everything I might have taken is by calculating it to the extreme.
And so his employer who takes that, he's not entitled to it. It's a gift, right?
He's remarked it to him. Right? Why is he not entitled to it? The employer could say, I don't want it. But he did it in such a way the employer wouldn't say that. Now, I do want to point out one thing over here, just a halachic element over here. He says he knows for sure if he would have asked, the employer would be Michael. Right? I guess that was his relationship. But there's an interesting application of this, which is not, you know, which is very relevant, you know, in different applications. But there's a sugya of Gemara of Yish Lamidas, right? Which means an item is lost, and when I come to accept that fact that it's lost, halacha makes the item now hefker. People are allowed to, a finder who finds it from that point onwards can keep it. So there's a need for an acceptance of a reality, and that creates a halachic. Right. So one of them says that, what about if you don't know about it yet? But had you known, you would have accepted it. But you don't know yet. So Rabbi says, that's good enough. The issue that Shomidas have a year. Rabbi says, no, it's not good enough. You have to actually accept that reality. It's not enough to theoretically accept that reality. Had he known, he would have agreed to that reality. He has to actually do so. So the Shach deals with the following scenario. Shimon is a very good friend of mine. You know, I come out of town, from out of town, and I go to Shimon's house, and Shimon's not home. And I'm very hungry. I want to take some food from Shimon's refrigerator without asking him. Now, there's no shaila that if Shimon would know that I'm here, he would be very agreeable I should take the food. He doesn't know that I'm here. So right now, I'm taking his food without rishus. So the ksois, the shach handles that this should go under the, does this go under the umbrella of Yishlo Midas? Had he known, he would have accepted. But he didn't, he would have agreed. But he didn't know. So the shach discusses the issue, and the ksois comes out of Lachol Maisa that Yishlo Midas applies over here. Yishlo Midas lo have a yiyush. So it's not a lachol dafka yiyush. It means any situation where we can estimate that a person would agree to a certain reality, but he has not actively agreed to it, is not sufficient. Because the more it applies it to other things besides Aveda, the more it applies it to many areas of halacha. So the Ksoyis passes on the halacha l'maisa, and this is how it's passed on the halacha l'maisa, that you can't take it. So I said, guys, you know, a guy has something in the fridge. You know, if I ask them up front one day, listen, do you mind if I take it? Whatever you want to take. Okay, so I have an act of rishos. But I have never asked him. I just know he liked me so much, I'm sure he'll agree. That's the mutter. So.
I just want to say, like, you know, if you know the person, Vadai would be not only. Would mask him, but would be really wants it. Give him a mitzvah. He wants it.
Yeah, I hear.
You're gonna be insulted if you ask him sometimes. But sometimes we're like,
I understand, right? The mitzvah. That's the point. Until you have rishus, you're taking somebody else's item without rishus is usur. That's it. In general, so it says the zochin le adam amrinan, zochin me adam lo amrinan. That then zochin me adam lo amrinan just. Is al
kadekach
al kadekach that it's much beneficial for him in a practical sense. The Truma Sedeshin has the following case: the minig which we have is we do not bake a dough until you're mafresh challah. But if a person baked it without mafresh challah, you're mafresh challah after. So the minig is not to bake a dough until you're mafresh challah. Okay, scenario X. Now when a dough is rising, if you let it rise for too long, it what happens is the yeast makes the dough sour.
Right.
So the Bala Sabayas wasn't home, and the Mishareses, so Jewish Mishareses, realizes that the dough is rising and rising and rising, and she wants to take off Mimafresh Kala, therefore you can bake the dough, and that's what stops it from keep rising. When you bake it, it stops rising.
Right.
So, but you can't bake it until you take off the Kala. So by taking off the challah, you're saving the dough. Zot the Truma Sedeshin, Zochem le Adam Amrinan, Zochem me Adam Lermin. You cannot take an item away from it. But I'm taking away the item to give to the Nekayan or to burn. So I'm taking away from him. There's no Kayak, Zochem me Adam. So just on a halachic element. But the page I do have in the over here is an awesome page. Last page in your thing. This is an article from Mishpacha magazine from the year 2012. Okay, so the quote has, you know, the all the political sides to it, etc. Right. Second journalism is really due to the way the other half lives and discover that there are more to Haredim than the hostile media reports. Yehamil Toker, which is the aide to Knesset member Moshe Gafni, invited a group of secular journalists to Haredi population centers to actually meet and observe the community firsthand. On occasion, journalists from Haoretz, where paper with little love for Haredim, visited Bnei Brak. They spoke to the mayor, stopped in religious schools, went to see a high-tech company staffed by Carlo Wives. So, second paragraph, I think that impressed them the most was that what the non-religious boss had to say about her workers. She told the journalists how the woman come and ask for permission before they use the fax machine, something not work-related, so it shouldn't be gezel. Other examples of high ethical standards regarding their work and the use of other people's property. This made a tremendous impression on the journalists. They had encountered another civilization. And the name of the article is Mind Cleansing Encounters. So then he brings a personal story. This is Rabbi Ari Wasserman, who has a safer English safer out called Making It Work.
supposed to interview him soon.
Okay.
And his brother.
So I was visiting my brother in Boston, Massachusetts. His brother is a professor in Harvard.
I'm going to hear him tomorrow.
He needed to print out about 200 pages of material for my return trip to Israel. But he was out of toner for his printer at home. I asked him what the company's policy at Harvard, where he's employed as a professor, would it be legitimate to do the printing there. Tell him that while many staff members routinely use office printers and the like for non-work-related purposes, he personally avoided it. He drove me to Kinko's and I did the printing there. Come on. Who doesn't use the copy machine at work, you know? So that doesn't work. Okay. So Revolver has a a line. He talks about, you know, part of a chiyuv of a ben Torah is to have an extremism in regards to the kiyus when it comes to momentous issues. The Pasha take this extremely seriously. Okay. So, the next page. There's a piece over here from the Sefer Eretz HaTorah. Eretz HaTorah is put out by Rav Moshe Tzuriel. Rav Moshe Tzuriel was the Mashkiach in Shel Avim Yeshiva. He's now retired and he just works on his Svarim, etc. He is a man with photographic memory. And a tremendous ability to categorize things. So he can take, like, you've seen like 75 different places where they talk about X, and he'll pull those out and give you your printout of topic X, you know. So he has multiple sort of out.
On his computer, though.
What?
Not on his office computer.
Not his office computer, right? So he has a Sefer called multiple swarm out, many swarm out. He has a Sefer called Eretz HaTorah, which he talks about different topics on the Parsha, and he pulls out all these fascinating different places where they talk about this issue. So he has a piece over here, what he called Musar HaVoida B'Yisrael, the Musar about how a Jew works. So he starts with the Rambam. The Rambam says, "Let's clear us b'milim elu." This is how the Rambam finished. Now the Rambam in general, and most of the Yad, at the end of each set of halachas, he has a Musar piece. There actually is a sefer who collected all of the divrei Musar in the Rambam and put it into a separate sefer. Right? You know, so like at the end of each set of halachas, he usually has, like, you know, some hashkafa or Musar thought that you take out of this area of halacha. So Rambam sends up Hilchos Chiras to the following: Kedar Shemuzer Balabai Shal Yigzal Schar Oni Vlo Yakvenu. The Balabai is not allowed to withhold payments. He has to make sure that he pays properly. Kach Oni Muzer Shal Yigzal Milechus Balabayis. The worker can't steal from his work, his responsibility to work. Vibat Umat Bekan Umat Bekan. What do you call it? Yerba Mirma. He comes out. The day is spent not without honest work. He has to be careful to make sure that he works the time properly. Sheikh Pidu, Chazal, Abracha, Revi, Shal, Brichas, Amozin, Shal, Yivorach, Yisra. So, Loch is that, Medina the Gemara, we don't pass against Loch Lamaisa nowadays, because we assume that people are not mad. But Medina the Gemara, a day laborer, was relieved from saying the fourth Bracha of benching. Because the first two Brachas of the Raisa, the fourth bracha is the rabbanus. The Chazal said, you know, when you're working, you owe every second to the balabayas. So what you have to do, you have to do. But our chiyuv the rabbanus is not going to make you do more. So we take that away. As a matter of fact, the Gemara says that actually would condense the second, third bracha into one bracha also. So they would say the first bracha, the second, third is one bracha, and then the fourth they would leave out totally. So the extra now. It very well could be that Bezman Chazal already benched, took him like 25 minutes, you know. I am somewhat doubtful that that's the reality, that was the reality, you know. So, you know, cutting out like that, you know, say the 15 minutes worth of work, that, you know. Usually benching takes a person, you know, 4 minutes, 5 minutes, you know. So, okay, it's a minute and a half of work. So therefore, a person can't waste any time. That's how Chazal saw the chiyuv of a worker. A person is mechuyev to work with all effort. He has to put all of his effort into it. Zogt the Rambam. Now, this is the loss of the Rambam, but he points out that the first point is based on a sefer called Medrash Tanoim. The second point is based on a Medrash called Medrash HaGadol. Those both of those Medrashim are not the Medrash Rabba. There's different other Medrashim besides that. So that's the mile of having Rabbi Suriel quote the Rambam, because he tells you where the Makaras are, that you wouldn't necessarily know there's something called Medrash Tanoim, period. But now that you know that it is, you wouldn't know that he talked about this point, but he's able to pull it out for you. All right? Now, the Rambam's lashon is fascinating. Chayiv lavad b'kol koyachad. The Rambam says not that it's a nice thing, it's not a tzidkia, it's not a chassidus, it's a chiyuv. So what Yaakovino did becomes now the halachic paradigm of how you're supposed to, you're mechuyav to do it. Right? That's like, wow. But even the Rambam says Yaakov atzadik. And then the Rambam says, so abitay miyuchad Yaakov atzadik mar tzumas leib. That's an interesting thing. You ever heard of Yaakov atzadik before? Shemano Yosef atzadik. Kashma forsam b'yisrael b'galad nisayin eishes patifer. B'yaman atzadik, Gemara b'abasra. Ahechem ro Rambam bitay zeh b'chazal al Yaakov. Chazal never used lashon Yaakov atzadik. It's Rambam's lashon. Vein lomer Rambam hichbir milim v'tarim. Yes, why not throw in a nice title for Yaakov Avinu? Like, really? Like, Rambam, not Rambam. No. Rambam doesn't do that. The Rambam puts a word in. There's a reason why it's there. So, if you want to talk about the Nisoyan, the Kuda of Tzadik comes that you're tested and you pass. Okay? So Yaakovino got his Nisoyan. He clearly got a Nisoyan in this area. We wouldn't pass it. I wouldn't pass that Nisoyan. Maybe you would. I would not pass that Nisoyan. I wouldn't pass it. I have not passed that Nisoyan. Yeah, situation where somebody treated you totally incorrectly, it's very hard to really come back and be very, very careful in all of the Beren of the Chaveroi momentous issues with that person. It's very, very hard. Especially if it's an ongoing situation. And we have this good argument, the guy's taking advantage of me. He knows I'm such a nice guy that I'm going to do this again, even though he has no right to expect that because of the way he treats me. And he's just taking advantage of me. I'm not going to take advantage of me. I'll show him. I'm a force to be reckoned with. You can't just walk all over me. I mean, Yaakov could argue that. I mean, Laban must have think him laughing himself to the bank every day. That stupid idiot Yaakov. He keeps working nicely, even though I take advantage of him all the time. Laban wasn't respecting Yaakov for this. He said, "Wow, he's such a big zadik." He's thinking he's such a fool. Mm-hmm. Right? And I'm sure he said it to his face. So he brings all of the Makaras over here of okay. So he brings the psukim that he was called Kochi, Shefel of Esialecha. He talked about Yisib Yamakhan Makarpalaila. He spoke about the Pasik of Kokilai, I didn't steal anything from you. He spoke about the Pasik over there, Malaysia Wazois, Bemuna. Okay. Now look at the way he brings the Chazal a little bit differently. So Menashe Barilam Poyel Oysim Malachim Alabayis Beis V'Gimel Shos Be'Muna V'Soyfu Misatzim Malachte. And over here he kept it up for 7 years. The first year I was like, you work hard. End of the day you're like, whatever. This is a beautiful word, whatever, right? Right? 7 years of no whatevers. Okay. But let's go back to the beginning of the parsha, early in the parsha. Still here, Rabbi Shal Yaakov Aram, who must have Shlosha Edrei Tzor and ropes him Liadaber. And this is like strange conversation. Okay. So he says, they say, they answer back, this conversation is like totally like there are many conversations that took place between the obas and the people, like, you know, right? The point of the pasuk is l'chara that they were not able to take the stone off of the bear, and Yaakov was able to do it eventually by himself when he saw Rachel. I mean, so we could have worked this out. Pasuk says they came. Yaakov comes to Aram, and the Torah tells us a fact that they couldn't remove the bear. Rachel comes and removes the stone. Shkoyach, you know. He speaks to them. They speak to him. He speaks to them. They speak to him. He speaks to them. He speaks to him. They, you know. Right? Do you know Lomon Achor? Yeah. Is he okay? Yeah. Nice conversation. I know you ever try. I mean, I happen to be an outgoing guy, and I'll start conversations with people just like randomly. So many people will actually respond very nicely. Once you get that, the person's clearly not interested. You know, it's just, you know, weather's pretty cold today, you know. Like, shkayach. You know, that you get the message that the guy doesn't want to talk, you know. Like, what's going on over here? You want to plopple? You want to just, you know, hey, Ray, welcome to my son. Schmooze with her. Right? You know, like, leave us out of it. Like, okay. So, the last point of Yaakov was, hey, no, you have a mikna. Now, did Yaakov just cop that? After the first three the conversations? No. He knew that beforehand. And he planned to tell them, you know, Rabosai, you know, you can go back and work. Rashi says, if you're the workers, you haven't finished your job. And if you're the owners, you know, you should take advantage of the opportunities. So Yaakovino says, Yisrael Yom Atem, Lo Yishlamtem, Lusay Yom, fine. That's very clear that I'm doing it because I care about you, etc. So Zakhtar, when you're coming to now to try and convince the person of something, you walk and say, you're doing the wrong thing. Very not effective. You need this. We have to make a relationship. So he knows. He says, "Listen, you know, reverse side where you're from. Oh, I'm from over there. You know, it's nicer. You know, you make a conversation. Then, in the context, you can then give him the mussar." So Yaakovino was oiske cheshbins in this nakuda of the. He realized that he needed to give them mussar, like the Purna says, that the nature of people which are erlich is they can't accept avla. So he felt the need. It wasn't a halachic requirement. There's a chiyuv, he has a chiyuv mitzvah tochacha. and it wasn't because necessarily he cared about them. He says, "I can't live in a world where things are done wrong. I need to correct. I feel a need to correct Avil in the world." But he says, "But that you have to do it right. You don't shoot from the hip." And even that was Oitke Cheshman. Okay. So kids, so the bottom line he wants to say over here that somebody asked me a question, why is Lovan called Lovan? Yeah. Like white? I'd call him like Shachar, you know, like black, you know. Like white? So I told you over once when Telzer Rav has the aura that Yaakov comes to Lavan and he wants to marry Rachel. So he says, "I want to marry Rachel Bitcho HaKtano." So Rashi says, like, what's this whole conversation over here? So I want to marry Rachel. You might take a woman from the shuk and call her Rachel. Rachel Bitcho. You might switch the name of the old elder to the younger. Rachel Bitcho HaKtano. Okay, that's what Rashi says. So it tells the Rav, like, what did Yaakov have to accomplish? Lavan doesn't care. Right? If he wants to give, Yaakov Chat, that he might want to give Leah instead. Which is what he did. And Yaakov was smart enough to chop that. So he says, okay, I'm going to protect myself against that. Because Rachel Bitzchaktana, like, really? So it tells the Rav that people do not perceive themselves as bad. You know, they hold all these like studies, etc. You go to the prisons and you talk to people over there, which are convicted for the most heinous crimes. It wasn't his fault. He had no choice. The other fellow did it first. You know, I'm not a bad person. I'm a good person. All right. You're cold-blooded murderer. No. I really love people, care about people, one after the other. Lavan says, I'm a nice guy. I'm a wonderful guy. I'm a Lavan. I'm a white guy. I'm white. I wouldn't do something wrong. So Yaakov chaps that. That Lavan would not do something. If Lavan's forced to see that what he's doing is wrong, he wouldn't do it. What happened? Lavan comes back and says, listen, I don't have a choice. I would 100% honor our agreement. I have no choice. But had he not had any argument, he would have given him Rachel. Love would have given him Rachel. Yaakovinu chap, the psychology of a person is such. But what's the problem? So Lavan is pushing. He's like one little guy. He doesn't look in the mirror. Because he looking in the mirror is too uncomfortable. Nobody wants to see themselves as a bad person. I'm all like, yeah, maybe. Right? But everybody else, no. Their definition of a good is like, Pearl Benish wrote a book, To Vanquish the Dragon. You ever read it? Have you read it? Ever heard of Pearl Benish? Pearl Benish was a Talmid of Tzara Shneur. Eventually she came to America. She was, taught in Beit Yaakov, etc. But she wrote a story. She lived for 6 years under the Nazis in Poland, survived the war. And she has multiple stories of, the different interfaces that she and the other Beit Yaakov girls had with, many of them eventually were killed with the Nazis. So the stories are like it's a very I mean, you read it on Tisha B'Av, you don't read it on the, it's a very powerful book. The Mesiras Nefesh, some of the stories like mind-boggling. Like when her brother was taken, she went to the Gestapo office to demand he be given back. And the German in charge over there put her into a locked room. Till eventually. Eventually let her out. Like, at first, he says, he said to you, idiot, I can kill you if I want. Right? And she, like, stories about, people giving up their food in Auschwitz to save other people, risking their life. Like, wild stories. One of the stories over there she has But the point I want to bring out, the side point, one of the women from their group, it was they were having Nazi guards around them one time. One of them seemed to be a little more decent. So one time, this woman complimented him that he's not like the other ones. He's a much more of a person with a heart. He says the person went into a rage. You think I'm not as good as the other ones? I'll show you. And he pulls out the gun and he shoots two people on the spot to prove that he's good. He can kill. Like the compliment of that you're a decent person, that you have a heart and you have compassion, wasn't a compliment. It was an insult. But leaving aside Amalek, we're wonderful people. We're caring people. We love people. We're wonderful people. Just I have no choice but to kill. That's how they look. The Yaakovina is the extreme opposite. He was totally honest. Laban is totally fooling himself. Laban's called Laban because in his mind he's Laban. He's such a Rami. He fooled himself. That he's a wonderful guy. He's an upstanding citizen of Aram. He's the most upstanding citizen of Aram. Right? And there's like nobody has just as, you know, airlift at him, etc. The other end of the spectrum is a Yaakov Avinu, which is like the most mind-boggling airlift kite. And Yaakov Avinu comes back, Avinu Parashat Yishlach, maybe I did it Averas, you know. I'm worried about meeting Esav because, you know, Hashem Nisalati Bechet. I was affected by Laban. You know, maybe I did something wrong. Right. Like, Mina Katsa Lakatsa. That's, I think, in next week's parasha by Yishlach, Yaakovino comes and he goes back for Pachim Ketanim. So Chazal says, Tzadikim, Memonim, Eschob, Melayim, Yosef, Megufal. Shalai Poshe, Yadayim, Begazel. They earned it honestly. So Chazal, the Moshel is by Yaakov Avinu. There's nobody in the world who earned something as honestly as Yaakov Avinu. So this money represents to him a tremendous amount of Avodas Hashem. So I can't just let it be lost. In other words, you could turn, Yaakov was able to turn his avoida, his erlichkeit of avoida, into a form of avodas Hashem. I'm doing this because like the Ruchim said, B'nai told us all them, I have a chiv to treat that person and my responsibilities to him, etc., as sacrosanct, no matter what, whatever he does to me. So I understand what Kadosh Baruch Hu is, what Bria is, what Adam is, what my responsibilities are, and I'm going to respect that tremendously. That is the dogma of what it means. So here you are, you have Yaakovina was able to push it. So when he has a Pachim Ketanim, those Pachim Ketanim are not money. That's hours of a Mesiras Nefesh and Avoda working on himself to be Erlich. You don't just throw that out. That's the more their mom is coming to me goofam because Shlai Pashi Yadayim Begazel. You know, it was already said, there was only soy in the Zishke Kuntz. Yaakovino was called Yaakovino because, like, someone there's a Yosef Tzadik because he was tested and he passed. Yaakovino was tested and he passed. So, I think maybe that's in the Kudov, that's the point in the Kudov, they call it Yaakov Tzadik. But I think the more by my mind-boggling point, which you don't still on, is the Rama says Chayiv. This now became the definition of what it means to work. Okay, there is override. There's contractually, you can make any contract that you want. I can make up that I can, you know, I have a right if I want to bottle half, you know, every hour take up 2 minutes to rest. Okay, I can make that up. I can make up whatever I want. Right? So, well, there's something called Minhag HaMedina. There's this industry standard that also works in halacha, as if we made up. So if the studies show now that your employees, if they work for 5 minutes straight and then they take a 5 minute break, they're more productive. So the employer wants that. This is Sefer Mishpat HaTorah. He says, if you want to know whether this is really acceptable, this break that you're taking or not, he says, for a rule of thumb, if you're not sure, the best way to figure it out is, if you would do it if the boss is standing there, and you still take that break, means you're very comfortable defending what you're doing as something which is appropriate to do. So then it's okay. But you wouldn't do it if the boss is there. You won't do it because the boss is not there. It might be that there's other elements why you're taking this break other than the fact that you feel that it's enhancing your service to your boss. Or because that's the agreement that's what's accepted. Right? So you're standing there in the coffee room and discussing politics while you're at work. Probably your boss would not be so happy with that. Okay. I think that's enough for tonight. Oh, one last thing. So he says, Yaakovina became rich because of this, the Rambam says. So we have a rule, Skarvetz Vahal Malekka. So that's all the unfortunate say that's referring to the Iker Skarv, and it's of course in Olam Haba. Yaakovina, for what he did, is turned to Olam Haba. But when it comes to Ben Olam Chavera is paid Paris Ben Olam as well. When Yaakovino learned to respect wealth as something which is the tremendous responsibility of what it means, and when he saw his wealth as a symbol and a sign of Avodas Hashem, person says, you know what, he deserves to get some money because everything he's going to get is going to be to him a statement of something of significance. So pour it on. You know, the opposite, you know, the person inherits money, your person, the more it says that the person inherits money, they squander because it's not valuable to them. That's part of the problem with the lottery. Something which a person worked for, it's very hard to just waste it. Part of the challenges of investments and these type of things is it's not work. To some extent, so it's much easier to just blow it. The plumber who even though gets paid a decent pay, but he worked hard, he's not going to blow that money. It's much harder to blow that money. It's Maisa Yadayim. He created that money, so it has a certain chavivus to him. The tzaddik sees that chavivus is because it represents not just the physical labor, but the intellectual, emotional, spiritual labor of doing it in an erlich way. So that money is so chaviv to him. I'm just not going to blow it. I'll use it for good things. So Yaakovina was the deserved shimer of a large amount of money. Because there's no shadow that he will use it properly. Because he's not going to blow it. It's valuable to him. The Russian is not mafkin money by us. Because maybe we're not going to necessarily be a shimer neman or shleich neman to use it properly. And worse than that is, the danger of having a lot of money. It's confusing to a person. It takes him off of his focus of that this is about his Hashem. Hence, we're back to the. Did I print this twice in the packet?
I think it's like five times.
What? That's not good. Let's check now. Cash on
this. It's a really good piece.
It's a really good piece, yeah. Okay. Okay. There must have been some setting over there that I missed in the in computer. Yeah. Yeah, it's trash.